UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boast one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game. Welcome to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show with Chris Graham.
Welcome to another edition of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show podcast with my co-host, Chris Graham. We've been busy looking back at the Virginia rout of Illinois last week and looking ahead to the huge matchup this Saturday night in Chapel Hill between the Wahoos and Carolina. We'll be talking about that throughout this podcast. I know Virginia fans are eager to see just how good this team is. The two teams they've beaten so far, William and Mary and Illinois, were not exactly powerhouses this year. Illinois opened up against Nebraska and won in what they called a mild upset. But if you look back at the records last fall, Illinois actually beat Nebraska worse last year than they did this year under new coach Brett Bielema. And Nebraska was nothing to write home about last year or so far this year. And in both cases, they played the backup quarterbacks. So they're going to be tested down in Chapel Hill by one of the best quarterbacks in the country in Sam Howell. And the Tar Heels are a 10-point favorite. Virginia has struggled on the road mightily under Bronco. I think they have the worst road record in the ACC during his time. But two of those wins came in Chapel Hill. And so that's in 2019 and I guess 17. And but Bronco, give him credit, he has one of the best records in college football at home in the last 21 games, 19-2. Probably should have won at least one more of them. So we're going to look back now at the what was it, 42-14 win over Illinois. I never can remember scores very well, but Chris, welcome in. Let's look back and see how the Wahoos routed the Illini like they do.
Well, it was 42-14 final, and it could have easily been maybe 62-14, two missed field goals, one was a chippy, and then two turnovers, one an interception at the one-yard line, a fumble around the 20-yard line by Wayne Talapapa, cutting those drives short. Virginia, 558 yards of offense, 405 yards passing from Brennan Armstrong. Lots of interesting formations and plays and everything else, dazzlement going on with Robert and I's offense. Jelani Woods, 5 catches, 122 yards. Finally, as advertised, we were told all spring and all fall camp that this guy was uncoverable. We finally saw evidence of that with the first drive, first pass of the game, second the first touchdown. Also, just so much going on there. Keaton Thompson, another big day receiving and running, had 5 catches, also a rushing touchdown and a wildcat play. And then the defense, we focus so much on the offense, scoring 43 in the win over William & Mary, 42 against Illinois. The defense is second in the ACC through two games, giving up an average of 280 yards a game and 7 points per game. I know it's weaker opponents, but everybody's played pretty much weaker opponents at this stage, except for Clemson having played Georgia. And the defense is looking more like 2018 than the second half of 2019 and all of 2020. Certainly we'll get a test this weekend with North Carolina, but Bronco said it yesterday. He likes where his team is right now. And after two games, early returns being what they are, you have to like, if you're a Virginia fan, where that team is showing itself right now.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's been amazing each week watching all the different formations that they've come up with. just some mind-boggling stuff. And it really blew my mind Saturday. I can remember, I think it was in the first half when even Ryan Swoboda, who was 6'10", 320 pounds, split out from his tackle position to a split end. They didn't throw it to him, but it did. I'm sure it made Illinois wonder, what in the heck is this guy, Andre the Giant looking guy, doing out here at split end?
Well, remember they had him at split end, and then he was covered up by the wide receiver. I don't remember who the wide receiver was, and they had a second receiver, I guess I should say, lined up behind him. So it made me think that the look might be, hey, we're going to pitch it out there to the wide receiver, and he's going to be out there blocking. And all that was just a decoy, though, because then they threw – they had a deep slant that they threw downfield towards the end zone. The pass was incomplete. But, because he was covered up, he was not eligible, and he was not ineligible out there as a receiver. And there was another one, too, where Keaton Thompson lined up left of the formation at wideout, ran across the formation, stopped under center for maybe 2 seconds, then continued to his right. It was a third and goal play from the six. The defense from Illinois was completely befuzzled, and they left Ontavion Wicks completely and totally, utterly wide open, one step inside the end zone for the touchdown pass. I don't blame them for being befuzzled. We were looking around like, what are they doing here? And so if you're North Carolina and future opponents down the stretch this season, down the line this season, what Virginia showed in the William & Mary game and what they showed in this game, Dontavion Wicks took a snap. Of all the guys who would throw a pass, Dontavion Wicks is not a quarterback. He threw a pass completed to Brennan Armstrong. There's so much. I call it the kitchen sink offense. They throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at you. And Bronco talked about that this week. He said, hey, it's hard to prepare. You only have a few days to prepare. And if you have to prepare for more, it just makes it tougher for what you have to do defensively. So Virginia is prepared in the spring and in the fall camp for what they're doing. And, you know, I don't feel as sorry for Carolina as I do the next couple of weeks. Wake Forest and Miami have one less day to prepare, one less day to break down game tape and get ready for UVA. But they do throw a lot out there at you.
Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The barn has been family owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's big-time steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630.
Yeah, no question. And even though they didn't throw it to the Swoboda, and even though Thompson stopped briefly at center and kept going, it makes those other teams say, well, what if they do throw it to Swoboda, or what if they throw it out there and he's blocking for a receiver, or what if Thompson does take the snap and sneaks? Yeah, so that just adds to the pile of preparation for a defensive coordinator. And listening to Jay Bateman, Carolina's coordinator, yesterday, he said they run some crazy stuff. And Mac Brown said I don't know how they have time to practice at all. And he said, if you chase the eye candy, it takes you away from what you do. So it's going to be interesting to see how Carolina prepares for that. But I know the Illinois people had to be thoroughly confused, because their secondary was suspect to begin with. But when you throw all those other working parts in there, that's just got to totally confuse a defense that is kind of reeling to begin with.
Well, there is that, certainly. And then, you know, the efficiency that you see, Brennan Armstrong in year two as a starting quarterback seems so comfortable with the offense. And also, you know, the guys, the football players, the FBPs on the depth chart, Keaton Thompson, and Jacob Rodriguez, mostly Thompson this past week. He seems so comfortable now in year two of how he's being used. And he's being used like Taysom Hill. You mentioned that in your column. Bronco was asked a question about that in the press conference about the Taysom Hill example from his BYU days. Of course, Taysom Hill now in the NFL, making a lot of money with the New Orleans Saints as a football player, quarterback, and everything else that he does, tight end, wide receiver, H-back, tailback, everything else he does lining up there in New Orleans. But that's the model. And, you know, they have athletes there, and they're not afraid to use them. That quarterback, the quarterback room is so productive for UVA. It's almost like we ought to give Jason Beck a little bit of a bonus here at the end of the season if it keeps up this way, because his guys are carrying so much of this offense.
Yeah, and, you know, you got to credit them. I've always wondered why more teams didn't do this. It's usually the quarterback is the best athlete on the team, you know. Not always, but usually is, at least coming out of high school. And so instead of just letting these guys linger on the sidelines and taking notes and stuff like that, why not give them some action? Why not let them play? And you know, if they're that athletic, certainly they're going to help you. And we saw that last year under dire circumstances when Armstrong did get hurt. And they had to make the best out of those guys that they could, Armstead and Thompson running the ball out of the Wildcat. I'm sure that turned on a light bulb in I's brain or Broncos or both or Jason Beck's. And they said, well, you know, we could get that kind of yardage last year when we didn't have a starting quarterback for a while. What can we do when we do have a starting quarterback who's dangerous and we've got all these athletes? Why not find a way to use them? And, you know, I know some people are a little frustrated because they'd rather just see them line up and play traditional football. But, you know, maybe week one it looked a little, I don't know, out of sync or something. I guess it was out of sync. The rhythm wasn't there. But it was, you know, it was the first game. You know, you got to work the kinks out. Last week they looked so impressive. It improved dramatically, and it makes you wonder what's in store this week. And you're right about Armstrong. I think I was really gung-ho on him before the season. It seemed like the game had slowed down for him, and he was making smarter decisions, had learned to avoid throwing interceptions. He'd throw the ball away or take a sack. Seemed like he was reading his progressions and reading defensive coverages a lot better, and it's just gotten smarter. And I like the way he plays with abandonment. He just, you know, although he is smarter, he will slide now or run out of bounds instead of trying to run over a linebacker, which is a smart thing. But I just like the way he plays with passion and fire. And I'm anxious to what this season's going to hold if they can continue to play like this. And you're right about the defense too. The defense has really stepped up, and you know, they're going to get tested this week like they haven't been tested thus far. And although Carolina struggled offensively against Virginia Tech in the opener, so did Howell, but you know, they started slow against Georgia State last week and ended up with like scoring 59 points. So they really took off in the second half. I think they scored 21 straight points in the third quarter to blow that game open. But this is going to be a monumental game because Virginia needs it to prove that they're as good as we think they are. And Carolina needs it because if they go to 0-2 in the ACC in the first 3 weeks, how are they going to battle back and be a coastal contender? That's really – putting them behind the eight ball.
Blue Ridge Bank is the proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show and JerryRatcliffe.com. Founded in 1893, Blue Ridge Bank has more than a century of customer-based service, but is forward-thinking and features digital banking free and available 24/7. CEO Brian Plum and his team are strong supporters of UVA Athletics. And check this out. Blue Ridge Bank is home of the $100,000 jackpot drawing to one lucky customer every year. How can you beat that? Banking smarter, simplified. Blue Ridge Bank's mission is strong customer service. Make Blue Ridge Bank your bank today. Visit mybrb.com for more information.
Well, you know, Jerry, you talked earlier in the podcast about how, you know, Virginia's played two weak opponents and we just don't know who they are. Carolina's played one good opponent. At least we think they're good. It's 2 weeks into the season. We don't know how we'll look back on this later on and find out if Tech is that good or you know, Carolina might not just be as good as we thought, but they lost to their opponent. And that score was 17-10 to loss to Tech 2 weeks ago. But it really didn't – I mean, it wasn't that close. Tech had a 14-0 lead after three drives. The drive in between – they scored on their first drive, scored on their third drive. The drive in between, they drove down to the 10-yard line and fumbled. Could have easily been 17-21 at that stage. Then they missed a field goal. They missed a chippy field goal in the second quarter. And then, you know, Carolina, give them credit, second half, they played better defense. But it never felt like Carolina, to me, it never felt like Carolina was really in that game. They got a long touchdown play, a 33-yard touchdown, breakdown in coverage. Outside of that, Sam Howell was, he was under pressure. I did some numbers today. I did a piece for Augusta Free Press about the matchup that I think is going to define this game is how the UVA pass defense, let's say, not just the secondary, but also the pressure you can get on the line. Let's throw the Georgia State game out for Carolina. Let's throw the William & Mary game out for Virginia. And look at how Carolina did with its passing game against Virginia Tech defense and how Virginia did with its pass defense against Illinois. I know Illinois is not Carolina, but the Tech D had 16 pressures on 44 Sam Howell dropbacks in that game in Blacksburg. Six sacks, six hurries, four hits, and Howell struggled, 17 of 32, 208.
He also threw three interceptions. Yeah.
He also threw three interceptions, and that last one, I mean, if interceptions are generally bad. Sometimes they can be tip balls popped up in the air, and it's bad luck for the quarterback. He just flung the ball, and if it wasn't going to be intentional ground, it was going to be intentional grounding, except he threw a no-look pass to a Tech defender. But he was under pressure. And I looked at their offensive line in Pro Football Focus grades. They had three guys who graded out really well. Marcus McKeithen had an 86.3 grade, Jordan Tucker an 81.8, Joshua Adizu had a 75.8. But then they had two guys right up the middle, right up the A-gap, the center Quiron Johnson, 48.4, and the left guard, Adam Richards, a 39.7. And Tech didn't blitz much. They only blitzed on eight dropbacks. They sent four guys, the other roughly 40 dropbacks. He had less success, actually, when they didn't blitz. He handled his blitz snaps pretty well. He's 4 for 6 on the blitz snaps with a touchdown pass. Virginia, you know, we know Virginia likes to blitz. We know that, you know, they like to come from different angles. They'll send their three down linemen. They'll send a linebacker. They'll send a safety. They'll send a cornerback. And not always multiples outside of the four you would normally see them send. But they will send pressure from different angles. That'll make it tough for Howell to pick up the reads. The secondary did really well, I thought, Virginia against Illinois. Nick Grant had a solid day. He only allowed one reception on five targets. Devontae Cross allowed one reception on three targets, had a pass breakup. Anthony Johnson had the best day. He allowed three receptions, but on nine targets, he had an INT and two pass breakups. And so, you know, the game plan, Virginia likes to blitz. Virginia sent extra guys on 17 of 51 pass snaps for Illinois. You know, Howell seems to actually do pretty well in picking up blitzes, as we saw from the numbers against Virginia Tech. You might see Virginia blitz a little less, and just drop back in coverage and make him dink and dunk like they made Illinois dink and dunk. You know, he didn't show, Sam Howell didn't show against Virginia Tech that he was very patient. If he's learned patience, he may well eat that up. But I think that's to me going to be the matchup that determines this game. Everything else being equal, I think how Virginia defends the pass game might define how the chances for Virginia to win this game.
I would agree. That's great analytical work there, Chris. I know the Carolina's offensive coordinator said yesterday that they had some guys banged up on the offensive line, and there was some miscommunication in that first game, I guess because of a couple of people in there that normally aren't, but they feel like that they've gotten that straightened out. One of the things that Mac Brown pointed out yesterday was that he felt like Virginia was more physical the past 2 years in those Virginia wins, sort of shootouts in a way. And that's one thing he and his offensive coordinator have challenged the Tar Heels, particularly their offensive linemen and defensive linemen, too, in that respect. And the word slipped out to Virginia's players Monday, and they seemed like, oh, okay, bring it on. We haven't slacked off any since we beat you the last 2 years. We're just as physical now, if not more so, than we were then. So bring it on. So you got to like that confidence and that attitude from UVA's players. That's a big deal. And the question I was asking myself, because we've known for a couple of years now that Carolina has struggled against running quarterbacks. Bryce Perkins proved that 2 years ago, along with some other guys in the ACC, and then Armstrong last year. My question is, if they had trouble containing one running quarterback, what are they going to do with four or five running quarterbacks?
You'll see, certainly, the playbook will continue to be open for Virginia in that respect, and you're going to need the offensive line to continue. Week one, the offensive line didn't grade out very well. Week two, a lot better grades. We saw Olubatimi was named the offensive lineman of the week. He had a career high Pro Football Focus grade was part of that against Illinois in week two. But you're going to need to see the offensive line continue to be physical and defensively. You know what's interesting, Jerry? When Bronco got the job 6 years ago, it was December of 2015 when he got the job. First season was 2016. We knew that from his days at New Mexico as defensive coordinator, and of course his years at BYU as a coordinator, then as head coach, he ran the 3-3-5 defensive alignment primarily. A lot of folks out west play those spread offenses, and having five defensive backs as your base package made a lot of sense out west. We didn't always see that here in when he moved east, when he moved to the ACC with Virginia. But through two games, I can't say that I paid close attention on every snap, but I paid attention on a lot of snaps. So there may have been a snap or two where they had four linebackers in the game and I just missed it. But the ones I was closely paying attention to, which is probably the bulk of the snaps, 3-3-5 was the base alignment. Three down linemen, three linebackers, and five defensive backs. You got more speed on the field. You got three safeties on the field. Illinois, to me, the issue was with Illinois, which with Bielma, they try to, he wants to institute that power running game. He did so well at Wisconsin, not so well at Arkansas. Would they be able to gash Virginia a bit because there's, one less linebacker, one more safety on the field? And what I saw was the speed made up for the lack of maybe the size, and the physicality of those safeties made up for the lack of size. And, Illinois didn't really get a lot in the running game. Virginia was able, with that umbrella of the nickel package, basically defense, kept Illinois for the most part to a short passing game. Most of the passes were inside of 10 yards, and close to a third of them were at the line of scrimmage. They couldn't get much going on, couldn't keep Virginia's pressure from getting in the backfield to Sikowski, the quarterback. And it just felt like to me that so you see the 3-3-5, it's dominating play. We know Bronco talked about this. The players are different. They're missing De'Ami Brown. They're missing Javonte Williams. They're missing Michael Carter. But the system's the same. So with different players running it, Sam Howell, obviously the trigger. I think this could be advantage Virginia because Virginia is playing defensively a little differently. Certainly they did last year when Carolina ate up Virginia defense, Virginia's defense. I think this could be a big advantage for Virginia.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Carolina, even though they had two really good backs, like you mentioned, I thought they kind of underused them last year.
They did.
I thought if they had called more running plays against Virginia, they would have won that game. but because Virginia was having trouble stopping those guys. And of course, Carolina probably didn't need to run them too much because, as you mentioned, I think the receiver had over 300 yards, which was an incredible performance, but against a pretty weak Virginia secondary. But yeah, I thought coming into the season that they were going to miss those two running backs a lot more than people were giving credit for because, they had to go and get a Tennessee transfer. And it's not like Tennessee is the Tennessee of 10 or 15 years ago. So, I don't know how good that guy is, but I think their offense is not nearly as potent as it was a year ago because those guys are gone and nobody is there to really pick up that slack. And I think Virginia Tech knew that and jumped all over them. And I'm curious as to how Nick Howell and Kelly Papinga are going to prepare the 3-3-5, as you mentioned, against this offense. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with the blitz package and if they what they try to do to make Sam Howell uncomfortable. I'm sure they studied that Virginia Tech film pretty diligently to see what they could find to might find some cracks in the wall there. But I think the defense, everybody has said since the end of last year that the defense has to improve. That's the weakest part of the team. The secondary is the weakest part of the defense. So I'm sure these guys have read all those comments and they want to prove that they're not as bad as some people are saying. So I think that's going to be – I agree with you. I think that's going to be the key to the game is how the secondary and the pass defense, which also includes the pass rush, can handle – Sam Howell and how they can see if they can knock him out of rhythm.
Howell against Virginia Tech was just 5 of 17 for 83 yards and an interception on passes of 10 or more yards downfield. He was 12 of 15 on the dink and dunk stuff, the line of scrimmage stuff, the less than 10 yard stuff. What I would expect from Carolina, because they feel like they have issues with their offensive line, and they'll feel like they got them corrected, but that was Georgia State that they got them corrected against. Georgia State's not right. Going to bring the pressure that Virginia brings, but I would expect if I were the Virginia staff looking at a game plan here, I would expect a lot of the short stuff, a lot of the quick stuff, because Virginia is known for getting pressure. Again, they got pressure on a third of the pass drops, the dropbacks. For Illinois this past weekend. So if I'm Carolina, knowing that my offensive line is a question mark, knowing that Howell is effective with the short stuff, let's try to move it down the field. Let's see what we can do, maybe pick our spots a little better. But if I'm Virginia, I'm expecting that too. And maybe, my presumption is here, when you look at the Carolina numbers, you almost say, hey, we love blitzing. We love sending guys from a local place, but maybe let's just kind of hang back from that a little bit, at least on more snaps, maybe early on, and let's see if we can contain that short game too. Virginia's secondary is a lot deeper than it was last year. Two of the guys playing safety this year, Devontae Cross and Nick Grant, were our corners last year. Right. And that says a lot, and we haven't even seen Josh Hayes hit the field yet. Anthony Johnson, the Louisville transfer, had a great game against Illinois. Darius Bratton's back, Fentrell Cypress. There's so many guys back there, Antonio Clary and Cohen King. There's so many guys back there that are getting snaps and getting quality snaps. It's weird. I thought going into the season that might be a strength of this team. It's only two games and really you haven't played anybody tough yet, but it's looking like it could be for this Virginia defense.
Yeah, and Joey Blunt, who missed most of last year with hamstring, I think he's been spectacular the first couple of weeks. And I've noticed in listening to the pregame analysis by the opposing coaches, Belima, Mike London, and now Mac Brown have all pointed out how well Joey Blunt is playing and how physical he is. And we knew that, and I think he's playing his best football right now, and they're going to need him to play his best football this weekend because it's not going to be an easy task. But yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how they attack Carolina's offense. And I noticed that Mac Brown said yesterday that and maybe he was playing the old wolf in sheep's clothing like Bear Bryant and Bobby Bowden used to do, and over complimenting your opponent to try to make them feel overconfident. But he said Mac Brown said Virginia should be rated higher than we are. He said I don't know what people are missing, but they're not being fair to Virginia. They've dominated two games, and they're a good football team. So that kind of spoke to me a little bit, because Mac's usually pretty honest about stuff like that. Having been a national TV commentator for a while, he's usually pretty upfront with his thoughts. Carolina's got a couple of – they lost one guy for the season, one of their cornerbacks, Day-Day Hollins, I think. So that's going to be interesting to see how they fill that gap. And they have a few other guys that are banged up in various places. So they're not going to be coming into this game 100% healthy. As far as we know, Virginia is. And I think it's going to be fun to see how Armstrong attacks Carolina's secondary. They've got obviously one starter missing, and got a couple of guys back there, so it'll be interesting. Virginia's done really good in protecting Armstrong. I think they led the nation last week in protecting the quarterback, and that's a big deal, a really big deal.
Protect your quarterback and attack the other quarterback. That's how you win football games, right? I put a provocative headline on a story. We talked about injuries coming out unscathed virtually. The only issue that looked like could have been an issue, Coach Bronco was asked about this yesterday. Brennan Armstrong was in the medical tent a couple times late in the game against Illinois. Came back out in the field, though, and played. He didn't get taken out because of injury. He eventually got taken out because the game was 42-14 in the fourth quarter. He, in fact, came out and led a touchdown drive after going in the medical tent. But he was limping a little bit, not terribly, but a little bit. He has a brace on his right knee, I think it is. And that was before this happened. And then I remember seeing him on one Illinois drive. He was on the exercise bike, kind of lazily pushing his, just keeping his leg warm, basically. Bronco said, "Hey, I haven't heard anything," which is good news, because when you hear something, it's usually bad news. So no news is good news as far as Brennan Armstrong is concerned. And other than that, yeah, it looked like, there didn't look like, that was the only time I saw the medical tent go up was the two times that Armstrong went in there. I'm guessing, Jerry, I didn't see it myself, but the first time I saw him go in the tent was after that Talapapa fumble. Maybe he dove on the ground for that or something, or something happened on that drive before the Talapapa fumble that we just missed on. But it was after that drive, after that fumble, that the first time I saw him go in the tent. But it seems like he's going to be fine for Saturday.
Yeah, and how do you feel, Chris, about them throwing the ball to Armstrong? I think they might be taking some unnecessary risks there. I mean, he's exposed as it is, particularly when he takes off running with the ball. I know he's a tough kid, but this is something the Carolina defensive coordinator said yesterday, is that if he – meaning Armstrong, if he gets hurt, they can't replace him. He's that kind of guy. And I think he's right. I mean, you've got some other quarterbacks behind him, but not that experienced. We don't know what kind of passers they are. We don't know if they can run the offense like he does. I'm not so sure I would be putting him out there and throwing passes to him. I understand he has to run, and I like that aspect. I like the fact that he does run the ball. But throwing to him, we saw a couple of years ago, Perkins hurt that pinky finger against Louisville when he went out on a pass play. And that bothered him the whole rest of the season. I'm questioning whether it's worth lining Armstrong up and throwing the ball to him.
That's the first time we saw Brandon Armstrong. He was a true freshman. He still got the redshirt that year, but he came in after Perkins got hurt, led a scoring drive. I think he led a field goal drive before Perkins came back in that game, eventual shutout win for UVA that in 2018. That hopefully is the first and last pass we see Brandon Armstrong even go out for, much less catch. If you send him out at all on anything like that ever again, decoy. And you give strict orders to whoever's getting that pitch. Dude, I don't care how open he is. There was a movie back in the 80s, Robin Williams was in, where he was wide open in the end zone and they threw it to him and he dropped it. I don't care if he's standing in the end zone and there's nobody 50 yards from him. Don't throw it to him, man, because I think the Carolina coordinator's right. I mean, you're exactly right. There's talented guys back there. Keaton Thompson was a four-star recruit, came to Virginia from Mississippi State to compete for the job. The labrum injury forced him into the football player role that he's doing so well in now. Rodriguez and Wolfolk and Armstead, of course, they're all going to be, they're going to be fighting for the job next year or maybe the year after, I guess, for Armstrong's job down the line. But we want them to fight for it in a couple years, not in a couple weeks. plus Armstrong, he's a second year starter in this system and he's fourth year in the system in terms of second year starter, but he had the redshirt year, his freshman year. He's had all the springs, he's had all the falls, and these other guys just haven't had that. So no, never again. Hopefully that's just something to plant a seed, that we'll never cultivate. Let's never cultivate whatever comes from that seed, because no, he's got to be healthy. And he's, for the most part, they're not running him as much as they did last year. They're not running him as much as they did Perkins the 2 years he was a starting quarterback. They don't have to because they've got other weapons. But no, man, he the way he's playing right now, it's two games. It's Wayman Marion, Illinois. But he looks like he's having a special season. Could have perhaps a historic Virginia season at quarterback. Let's keep him healthy.
Yeah, you have plenty of other people to throw to. That's their jobs.
So yeah.
Do that. I guess the only other thing Bronco addressed yesterday was he wasn't worried about Dunkel, the place kicker, who missed 46 and 32-yard field goals against Illinois, as you pointed out early in the show. He said one of them was thrown off by a penalty right before the kick, and the other is they miscalculated the crosswinds. And I'm assuming that I'm not. I guess that was the 46 yarder, which is not a gimme anyway. But Bronco seemed to feel confident that Dunkel is okay, nothing going on there, and they needed to be that way because last year's game was. A field goal was the difference. At least 3 points was the difference in the win. And a handful of coastal division games each season seems to come down to a couple plays or a field goal. So they need him 100% and confident going into Chapel Hill, where it's no easy place to play.
You've got to be able, when your offense gets the ball inside the 30-yard line, and that's a 47-yard field goal at the 30-yard line. If you're inside the 30-yard line, you've got to be able to say, hey, if we don't get third down, we're going to get 3 points. And it's just a given. If you're going to play at the level Virginia expects to play at this year, if you're going to be able to beat a Carolina team in Chapel Hill down the line, we've got Miami at Miami. You've got BYU and Notre Dame and Virginia Tech and Pitt on the schedule, among others. If you're going to be able to win these games, if your offense gets inside the 30-yard line, you've got to be able to count on 3 points. And so those, even though it was a 42-14 win and, those field goals didn't matter, when he missed those field goals, it did matter. The one would have made it 17-0, which could have demoralized Illinois early. When he missed it, then Illinois went down and scored, made it 14-7. And then he missed one that would have made it 17-7. And so Even though in a blowout win, you know, it ultimately didn't mean anything. It sort of did when he missed those field goals. And so they could be momentum changers. Your defense gets a stop on third down, then you miss the field goal. Hey, we just gave up a lot of yards offensively. They got no points. And so, no, you got to be able to convert those. And so that'll be important this week. I mean, this game, I know that the odds have a 10-point, you know, 10 Carolina favored by 10. It feels like to me this is going to come down to a couple of plays, and one of those plays could be a kick. And so Justin Dunkel is going to need to be able to knock those through.
Yeah, and that can also, if you miss a couple early like that, that can affect the play calling.
Yes.
You might be taking more chances than you normally would just to try to get a first down, so you don't have to be trying to kick another field goal. So, he needs to be perfect on Saturday. And you're right. Once you're inside the 30, it has to be automatic. This is major college football. You can't afford to mess up. That's for sure. I don't really have anything else except it's great that the South's oldest rivalry is back. 126 years. That's kind of mind-blowing that they were even playing in football 126 years ago.
So are you heading down for the game on Saturday, Jerry?
I am actually going. I haven't I think the only road trip I took the last year was to Blacksburg. Most media didn't get to travel last year. I'm kind of anxious to go on a road trip and see what football's like somewhere else. So I'm definitely going to be going. It's going to be a late night again. I hate these 7:30 games because, you know, you don't get out of the press box at midnight at the earliest. And so it's not much fun in that regard, but it'll be fun to watch football on the road, see what it's like.
I'll be monitoring from the ACC network, which means I have to resubscribe to the ACC network. I dropped it back during baseball season. The game is on ACC network. The game seems like it's a lot longer when you watch it on TV. And I haven't watched one on TV for a while, at least covering a game closely like we had to do last year, covering a while from home, except for the last couple for me in Charlottesville. But those commercial breaks with the same four commercials are just... They had a new one, an alien tape one. Scott German, one of our colleagues, was pointing out when we were in a press box because UVA's game with Illinois was on the ACC network this weekend. And we didn't get to hear the commercials, but he was pointing up at various times during the timeouts on the field. Alien tape is one new one. I can't wait to hear about alien tape. I guess I'll hear about it for 3 hours or more.
I actually have some alien tape.
You have some alien? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they ought to be one of our sponsors.
Alien tape and tack glasses and tack shavers and then a lot of house ads for the ACC network. I really hope that thing works out. It's got to work out for our conference. And I was holding off on subscribing because I thought we were indicated at the ACC kickoff that they were close to getting a deal with Comcast Xfinity. Apparently close is not quite the same as what we mean close. So I'll be monitoring from there. Scott and I will be covering. We might do a post-game podcast just because we're stuck at home. Me from Waynesboro and Scott from Fluvanna County. And then we'll all be watching your coverage as well, Jerry.
All right, brother. Well, I'll eat an extra cookie for you in the press box, assuming they have any.
I had an extra breakfast the other day. I went down to get some. I thought I would get a hot dog at halftime because we had the breakfast game there. And I thought at halftime I'll go down and get some lunch. And the lines were so long at the concession stands, even with only 36,000 fans, I hate to admit that I went and got a second breakfast box. And so don't tell anybody because I'll probably get in trouble for that. I'll have to probably pay something for it or anything. But I ate two breakfasts Saturday. I was hungry, eat the cookie for me. Hopefully they have something good for you down that way. It's Carolina. Hopefully they have some barbecue for you, man. Some Carolina barbecue. I'll be jealous of you if that.
They usually do have some good chow. They usually have good chow in the press box. I don't know if they're doing box lunches like Virginia is or not, but I wouldn't mind having some barbecue on Saturday night.
We're rooting for you in that respect, Jerry. So thanks for having me on the show as always.
Thanks for being my co-partner here. I appreciate you and Crystal, your wife, who does our commercials, and just an awesome lady. So thank you guys. And thank you all for listening in. Support our sponsors. It means a lot to them and to us. And so we'll see you sometime in the future. Thursday afternoon, for sure, we'll be bringing back another weekly Good Health podcast with a member of the ACAC crew, Mark Lorenzoni of Ragged Mountain Running and Walking Chop, and Dr. Winston Guathme of UVA Orthopedics. So we'll have lots of good health tidbits and news for you, so don't miss it.
Thank you for listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at jerryratcliffe.com or at augustafreepress.com.